Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 153 of Growth Marketing Today. And today, I'm going to be talking about influencer marketing with Taylor. Too many growing D2C and e-commerce brands leave influencer marketing out of their marketing strategy. And you can't really fault them for doing so because there's so many wannabe influencers with fake followers. And influencers, because of that, have gotten a bad rep, and it's easy to see why. But some brands have cracked the code of influencer marketing and are using it to skyrocket their growth. Today's episode, Taylor, co-founder of Kinship, discusses the nitty-gritties of influencer marketing, and he's going to bust a few myths along the way. In episode 153, you'll learn how brands with limited marketing spend leverage the potential of influencer. Second, common myths around influencer marketing. And third, a proven three-step influencer marketing blueprint that Taylor and his team have used time and time again. Before we go on, I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. They are a plug-and-play demand generation and marketing operation agency for B2B SaaS companies that are ready to scale. You can learn more about them at 42.agency/GMT to get a free $500 consulting time. Well, let's jump into my chat with Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Super excited to have another Growth Marketing Today episode here with Taylor. He is the co-founder and co-CEO of Kinship. And we're talking all about influencer marketing. Taylor, how are things with you?
Doing well, Ramley. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, super excited. I mean, before we jump into influencer marketing, I usually ask a question for people who are tuning in to get to know you a little bit. You said your favorite vacation spot is Thailand. What is it about Thailand that like really made you say that that's your favorite vacation spot?
I would say it wasn't Bangkok. Bangkok wasn't really my scene, but the beaches. The beaches were absolutely phenomenal. I mean, exotic fish of every color that you can possibly imagine, clear waters, white sand beaches, incredible scenery. And so I would say the beaches down in Thailand were almost heaven on earth, quite honestly. So sure, it's definitely my favorite place I've ever been.
And it's, I guess, better beaches than where you're from. You're like South California. You guys have great beaches there too as well, right?
Yeah, it's, people think it doesn't get, you know, as good as this. Literally, like in the like the Laker introductions on commercials, it shows like the beaches of Laguna Beach. And they're phenomenal beaches out here as well. Right. But I've never been anywhere like the beaches of Thailand, in all honesty.
I gotta go visit for sure. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, let's jump in. Let's talk about influencer marketing.
It's also worth saying you'll definitely get a lot more bang for your buck on those beaches than you do in Laguna Beach.
Oh, that's that's definitely true.
It's also worth mentioning the type of time you'll be able to have.
That's so true. I mean, once again, I've never been to both, so I guess I can imagine it's quite more expensive food, lodging, everything else in Southern California than Thailand.
We did one day, just to expand it, we got to transition to the next segment here, but I paid $15 alongside five other people for an all-day like boating excursion to several islands, included food, included a tour guide, all of the above. So it's just like you can have just a different type of time.
It is one of my life goals to go to Thailand one day. Never been, which is crazy. Also, where Orange County, I've never been there. So, Yeah, I mean, let's chat about influencer marketing. I know that it sometimes gets a bad rap, and there's a lot of misconceptions around it. And yeah, you know, for people who are tuning in, how we're connected is through Twitter. People should definitely follow you. What is your Twitter handle for people tuning in? They can also find this in the link below.
Yeah, just Taylor Lagasse, and another great person to follow is my partner and co-CEO, Cody Wittick. We're constantly putting out content about all things influencer marketing and addressing those misconceptions Randy's talking about.
Let's jump in. Let's dig into what are those common misconceptions that people usually have around influencer marketing that you've seen other people talk about, things that the reason why they say influencer marketing doesn't work for them. What are those misconceptions, common misconceptions you've heard?
Yeah, I think the biggest one out there is just the way people lean into and rely and depend on this influencer pay for post model. And Ramley, you've seen on Twitter, I can say some clickbaity things probably around, you know, the influencer pay for post model is dead. Now, it is a little clickbaity. We are big proponents of not paying for posts because we do think there's a better way to do this. I would love to go into that. But there's a time and place for it. And you should never, the biggest misconception here is you should never engage with an influencer for the first time and immediately contractualize them and immediately put some transactional deal in front of them without having a relationship built in the right way, because you're always going to get hiked up inflated rates. You're not going to get authenticity. You're honestly not going to get the ROI you're looking for. And it ultimately leads to people saying, hey, influencer marketing just doesn't work for us, or even more dramatically, influencer marketing is a scam. When in reality, there's just a better way to do this that will ultimately get you the results that you're looking for.
Interesting. Well, what is it about paper posts that like it doesn't work anymore? Are people more skeptical about those things, or what are things that about that you're saying that you know, it's not as ideal for a way to do influencer marketing?
Cool. And just to address, I love that you asked that question. And just the people in the audience that may have had, you know, a win doing this. I'm not saying there aren't success stories still. I'm not saying there aren't case studies within this model. There are. But where there's a better way to get greater output, greater relationships at a more cost-effective rate, the former model is dead if there's a better way. And what we believe is there's a far better way here. I would love for your audience to leave with what that better way is for them to go try it internally and get a win in the way that we're expressing them to do so.
Interesting. That's really cool. I mean, let's talk about that better way. So if paper post is the old way, let's talk about the better and new way, or better approach, a smarter approach to doing influencer marketing.
Yeah. Well, I'll just explain why real quick, why we believe it. So I'll start kind of at the end of the end result and what it would typically cost and compare the two. And then I'll explain how to get to that end result. So the end result, 30 influencers posting 60 to 90 assets in total. So every influencer, 2 to 3 assets on average, 60 to 90 assets posted organically, as well as getting usage rights to that content to be able to repurpose into paid media. So 60 to 90 unique assets. That cost, if you went to any influencer marketing agency in the world, the cost of that would be a minimum of $30K, a minimum. $1,000 for an influencer to post 2 to 3 assets each, and you get usage rights to that content, minimum of $30K. With the process that we're going to walk through here, you're going to get all of that for the COGS, the cost of your product, sending out 100 products. And so if you have a $20 COG product that you're sending out to influencers, you're looking at a $2,000 fee, quote unquote, instead of $30,000 to get all of that. In addition to way more authentic relationships in comparison to contractualizing someone and pretty much forcing them to do something for you. So how do we get there? Does that make sense, by the way?
Yep, it does. It makes a ton of sense.
So process-wise, like how we're typically coming alongside the brands we're partnering with internally at Kinship, but how you guys can do it on your end internally as a brand is we're identifying and reaching out to 500 influencers per month at a minimum. Again, that's us as an agency. Go put this, I'm going to give you numbers breakdowns. Go put this to the test internally. If it's you identify 50 influencers and you reach out to them, just put the same numbers to the test here. But we typically reach out to 500 saying, again, and how we identify those people. I'll give you our tech stack too of how we actually do this. So again, you guys can just do this internally. We use a platform called Tagger for identification purposes. That's a $1,500 to $2,000 tool. I know that's probably expensive for people looking to try this potentially. So a great tool free of cost for identification is Facebook Brands Collabs Manager. That's Facebook's very own tool that they have for influencer identification. It's free of cost. You just have to apply and they give you access within about 2 weeks. It's not as robust as Tagger, obviously. Otherwise, our agency would not be paying that rate of $1,500 to $2,000, but it does definitely get the job done in effectively and efficiently identifying people for your brand. So how do we think about identifying people? You want all the quantitative data of the influencer that you're looking to go after to represent your brand. So brand persona, brand fit, demographic fit, all those boxes need to be checked. But just alongside that, and just as importantly, you need to make sure they're great video content creators. And so how do you be a good judge of that? It is subjective, but some, you know, check boxes that we can give you to check off while you're identifying those people is, you know, do they capture your attention in the first 3 seconds? Are they thumb stopping? Are they charismatic? Can they hit the value adds of your product if you were to put it in their hands and articulate that well? Basically, long story short, like the lens we're looking through is, can they create video content in a way that would ultimately sell me and convert me as an end viewer? If they check that box, then and only then do all 500 of those influencers get approved to reach out to. And then this is where we are very different. Again, not big believers at all in the pay-for-post model in the beginning of a relationship with an influencer. So what we're doing to all 500 of these individuals is we're doing seeding. And what that means is, you know, we're seeding a gift and planting a seed to build a relationship that will ultimately have far greater output than, you know, a transactional relationship with an influencer would have ever been. And so we're sending a message to all 500 of these influencers, Ramly, saying, hey, Ramly, we think you're a great brand fit. We absolutely love the content you consistently put out. We think you'd love our product. And we want to send to you no strings attached. Emphasis on no strings attached. And what we mean by that is we have no expectation of you to post whatsoever. Just send us your address and we'll get this right out to you. So just over-indexing ourselves on, hey, no strings attached, no expectations. Now, in the back of our mind, we do have expectations. Otherwise, this wouldn't be a service, and I wouldn't be talking about this on a podcast with you, probably. So to bring some of those expectations to life here, out of those 500 influencers that we reach out to, and we have a follow-up flow too. Don't just reach out to them once. Reach out to them over Instagram, over TikTok, wherever you're trying to activate them, over email, and follow up with them to try to get as many people onboarded as possible. We see 100 or 20%. Again, apply these numbers to whatever you identify. 20% of those people opt in to receive the product. So 20% of 500, 100 people. And then we have a preferred partner, Arca, that we use for unboxing experiences. I would highly recommend getting an unboxing experience dialed in around your product. It just lends itself, again, you're doubling down on that first impression. You've reached out to these people in the right way. That's incredibly different than the rest of the marketplace. You're delivering your product to them for the first time. What type of impression do you want to have on them when you deliver your product to them? And it's just a more postable experience than receiving someone in basic packaging. And so people are more inclined to share that with their audiences through posting. And then we also have self-plug here a little bit. We have our Kinship Seeding app that helps scale zeroing out orders and sending product out. And then once product gets out of the 100 people that typically receive product, we see a minimum of 30% of those people end up posting free of cost. And that's where we get to the 30 influencers. And then on average, each of them post on average 2 to 3 pieces of media each. 30 influencers, 60 to 90 assets. Then we follow up for usage rights. You need to follow up for usage rights. That is huge. So we say, hey, thanks so much. Hey, we're so glad you love the gift. We sent you so much so you're willing to share this content with your audience. Hey, we'd love to be able to share this content with our audiences as well. Can we have the rights to do so via organic and paid social? Reformat all that into 9x16, 1x1 for ad placement purposes, caption it properly, create iterations on it. You just got yourself over 100 ads to run in paid media every month that you're actually doing this. Again, scale it down to whatever you want. If you reach out to 100 influencers, you identify and reach out to 100 influencers, 20% of that, that's 20 people that you would end up sending product to. 30% of that, what are we working with here, Ramly? 6 influencers, doing some math on the spot here. Sorry, I got a little nervous. 2 to 3 assets each, 12 to 18 pieces of content. Put this to the test and see how it works for you and your brand. And then scale it from there. And then I would recommend activating these people on TikTok organically and then repurposing their content into paid media on Facebook. That's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck and the most conversions without a doubt.
That is
a lot there. I'm so sorry.
That was perfect.
And word vomiting on the audience.
Yeah, I was just pulling up some of the stuff that you talked about, like Tagger's one of the tools you mentioned, and is that the domain? I just want to make sure I got it right. Taggermedia.com is the platform you're using for.
Yeah, exactly.
And you mentioned
Yeah, and we've vetted Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say you vetted that. You vetted other tools.
Yeah. You know, if you're familiar with the influencer marketing space, you may have heard of Grin, you may have heard of Aspire IQ, you may have heard of all these other tools. But what I'll say is we vetted them all. And the most bang for your buck, the most robust tool in the marketplace without a doubt for identification is Tagger. Again, it's 15. Our price point, again, I'm just being transparent. Our price point per month is $1,500. We've been a long time client. Obviously, we even talk about them on podcasts from time to time. So that's a little bit of a reduced price point. But you should be able to get it for $2,000 if you're willing to invest in that tool. But again, free of cost tool, 100% Facebook Brand Clouds Manager is the one to go with.
Facebook Brand Clouds Manager. Awesome. I just Googled that. And the second tool you mentioned is Arca for unboxing. So people, you really like talking about, you want to make that unboxing experience really, really great. It's Arca.com, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Is that the correct one?
A-R-K-A. Yeah, Arca. That's right. Arca.
I want to dig into, I have a bunch of follow-up questions to this.
Please, come on. That's what I was hoping.
First of all, I mean, we're already talking about unboxing. What are some, you must have seen a lot of unboxing experience. Like, what are some, how do you know that experience is great? Is it just like that wow factor? Like, what are some things you're looking for to tell one, let's say you're working with a client, it's like your unboxing experience, it sucks right now. What are you looking for when you say, hey, this is not that, I mean, obviously you're not going to say the word sucks, but what are you looking for that initial unboxing experience to make it like super great for when the influencer opens it?
Yeah. I mean, the framework we're thinking of and the lens we're looking through is how do I, one, make this a more postable experience, and two, how do I make an even greater impression than I otherwise would have if I didn't have this unboxing experience. And so we just want to make sure it's not being sent out in basic packaging. It's not being sent out, honestly, in the same way that customers are receiving packaging. We want them to feel like, they're getting something special, extra special, because that's the type of relationship we're looking to build with them to, ultimately get them to be a product adopter and just a brand fanatic, a genuine, authentic brand fanatic. And so just going above and beyond in the total package. And so unboxing experiences, you just want them to be clean. You want your brand to be represented well. You want your brand to be represented in a way that fits into what this influencer is putting out content-wise. And so you have to do some, creative thinking. You have to do some digging and some research into who you're selling this product to and how you should present it to them in order for it to be posted and having a lasting impression.
Makes a ton of sense. The other question, follow-up question I had around that is identification. I know you're big on micro influencers, and I'm curious about you talked about reaching out to 500. Usually, what kind of ranges do you see? I mean, obviously, you're seeing already they're getting engagement, that they're capturing your attention already. Like, is there a bare minimum number of followers, or do you reach out to, or what are other things that you look up? Like, let's say you got 1,000 people who influencers who do get you to stop. Like, how do you like whittle it down to the ones that you're definitely going to reach out to?
Ramy, you do your research, man. I love it. I appreciate it. So we tell brands all the time, we can reach out to whoever you want of any following. At the end of the day, you're our boss. But if you want to hear our recommendation on best practice, what we'd recommend is reaching out to people between 5,000 followers and 150,000 followers. Why? Why do we say that? Why do we recommend that? Variety of reasons. One, there's no agents or managers involved. I actually come from the world of representing NFL talent for marketing. And what I'll say is you're going to get hyped up rates. And just know the other person on that line, their livelihood is contingent off making as much money off of you as possible, because they're incentivized to hike up those rates as much as possible. They're paid on a commission basis, and that's how they make their living. And so 5K to 150K, you avoid those agents and managers. You want to be able to, and you just want to be able to have direct access to the influencers and build a relationship with them. And you won't be able to do that because they're gatekeepers to those relationships at that point. You never get to actually have a genuine direct relationship there. So 5K to 150K for that reason. Secondly, 10 micros, 100% of the time, every day of the week, will always outperform one macro. And so if I take one macro with 1 million followers and compare how it performs against 10 micros with 100,000 followers, aggregates the same follower count in total, right? But on a per follower basis, micro influencers have far greater reach, far greater engagement, far greater conversion rate. They're just more niched audiences. So it's easier to actually plug in your product to the right audience at that time, at that same time as well. And then lastly, I would honestly say most importantly, because I'm a big like repurpose all this content into paid media type person, really believe in the value of that. When you fall for usage rights to a post by someone with a million followers, you're looking at a fee of at least 5 to 10K at least. And when you reach out to influencers between 5K and 150K for usage rights to their content, they're flattered. They're absolutely flattered. And so you get, I was about to say 10 times the amount of content, but you got 10 pieces of content in comparison to zero. So you got an infinite amount of more content there. And there's no drop off in the quality at all whatsoever. This person has just been paid absurd amounts and have been, you know, accustomed and prone to, you know, charge these rates for posts and content that they give usage rights to. So across the board, we would recommend micro influencers 5K to 150K for all those reasons.
When we come back in just a moment, Taylor is going to share his 3-step influencer marketing blueprint that his team has used time and time again. Just a quick word from our sponsor.
This episode of Growth Marketing Today is brought to you by 42 Agency. If you're a marketing leader, you know that hiring experienced demand gen and ops professionals is really, really hard. That's where we come in. 42 Agency is a plug-and-play demand gen team that can help you scale your B2B SaaS. We're kind of like an agency, but with more of an in-house feel, which means you get all the experience you need to grow without the hiring headaches. Join organizations like Sin7, Sprout Social, Knack, and more. Visit 42.agency to get $500 worth of free consulting. That's FourtyTwo.agency.
Let's jump back in my chat with Taylor.
I didn't realize that you guys have a range. It's super cool. Is that across the board? Are you finding, like, let's say, an influencer on Facebook? It's not as, I mean, I guess it depends on the product for sure. But do you have any insights on which platforms are doing better? I mean, I have a hunch that Instagram and TikTok are doing a lot better than the other kinds of platforms. But I might be totally wrong there.
Yeah. So this is also somewhat of a detailed answer. We recommend Instagram and TikTok. Sure. We typically split the reach down the middle. Why those two platforms? One, because they have the greatest conversion rate and greatest opportunity organically. But you also have to think about our philosophy here, right? Seeding and getting free content posted. Where are the platforms that people are constantly, like 24/7, posting about their lives? Instagram stories, right. TikTok, like YouTube. It's like every so often, like one a day for the people that are really doing it, right? And a lot of the time, because YouTube's another valuable right. platform in the influencer marketing space. And there's a time and place for that, and I'll get into that. But almost every aspect of a YouTube video is sponsored. When you're seeding your product to a YouTube influencer, you're not going to get a right. free post on YouTube. That's not going to happen. But if you're interested in a specific YouTube influencer, which we are constantly pursuing, they're some of the best video content creators, we're seeding them and reaching out to them over their TikToks, over their Instagrams to begin with. And so we'll see, you know, if they end up adopting the product, they end up posting free of cost, we get usage rights. Because then after 3 months, randomly, like, say, working with us, or if you do this internally, whatever it is, we would have reached out to 1,500 people. We would have sent product out to 300 individuals at a minimum. We would have seen 90 influencers post free of cost, 180 to 270 assets go live organically, as well as get repurposed in paid media. We're not just recommending seeding every month. We are recommending that, like doing it every month, but also we would recommend quarterly, like, hey, dissect and analyze out of those 90 influencers or however many, you know, ended up posting free of cost, who are the top performers? Right. You know, now let's go back and engage in that pay for post model. This is the time where you actually onboard and contractualize and pay, you know, the top 5 to 10 performing influencers. And at that point, you should contractualize them for a YouTube post. At that point, get that into the deal structure. They've proven to be a top performing influencer. They've proven to be a genuine product adopter. Again, they posted free of cost under no contractual obligation. And it's always just going to be cheaper at that point. After you build the relationship right. The right way and the influencer loves your brand, your product, they want to work with you. And so that price point is always going to be at least cut in half.
It makes a ton of sense. I love that approach. Another question I had as a follow-up is like how you're talking about reaching out to 1,500, a lot of folks, a lot of different influencers. Do you just send out one? I mean, you talked about sending a message on TikTok and Instagram, but like, is it just one message, or do you guys have like a follow-up sequence where after 2 days ask, oh, I'm just following up. Like, do you have that follow-up sequence that you've seen prove work out well all the?
Yeah. Yeah, you're nailing these questions, man. Nailing it. We have a 5 follow-up flow. And so whatever platform you want to activate them on, Instagram, TikTok, again, that's where we'd recommend starting. Instagram, again, just to speak to some of the benefits there. It's like they have the swipe up feature on stories, super beneficial to direct website traffic right away. TikTok, benefit-wise, it's like their algorithm is unbelievable. Unprecedented in the amount of reach that you're able to get from somebody posting anything. So that's a massive value out of their platform. If you get 30 influencers posting about your brand on TikTok, you are bound to have one of those go absolutely viral. It's unbelievable. But I would recommend to get back and circle back to your question, wherever you're looking to activate them on one of those two platforms, I would send a DM to them if it's on Instagram. I would send them a message via the creator economy. That's the marketplace within TikTok to be able to reach out to influencers, or you can DM them directly as well there. But I would do a message there. I would do a message over email as well. All these people have their emails pretty much within their bios. Again, this is their livelihood. This is their profession. They're looking for you to reach out to them. And then I would follow up with them at least once on both of those if you don't hear a response. Then if you still don't hear a response, so we're at 4 follow-ups here, I would comment on their last post on TikTok or on Instagram saying, hey, brand opportunity in your DMs, would love to partner, whatever you want to say there to make yourself stick out. But after 5 follow-up flows, you got to get out of there, stop being a stage 5 clinger, because at that point, obviously, they're not interested and you don't want to, get a bad rep for
yourself.
Makes
a ton of sense. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. It seems like it's definitely something you that it's a proven process that you guys have really honed in. So thank you for sharing that. I want to talk about what happens after this. Like, let's say, like, those people who did post up, like, how do you take that to the next level now that they've posted this up because they like the product? What's the next step, like, for you to engage them further into? And you talked about YouTube, like maybe like sponsoring one of their YouTube, but what are other things that is the next step once you found an influencer that has great, like, stats with their posting?
Yeah, then it's time to engage in a partnership with them, right? So like I said, in that hypothetical, after 3 months, you've had 90 influencers post organically, 180 turn 70 assets, and then you've also repurposed that to paid media. And you can see who the top performers were organically, as well as in paid content-wise, who's creating the best content. At that point, I would go back to them and say, hey, we're so grateful that you have, become such a genuine lover of our product and have shown us so much love. And we just want to honor you and actually, engage with you in an actual partnership where we can pay you for these efforts. We think you deserve it. And we'd love to come alongside you in that way. And so we would engage in the partnership in that way. They're already posting about you and granting you usage rights free of cost and doing so much for you guys. And so at a certain point, these people post about products psychologically, that they ultimately want to work with and that they ultimately want to partner with. So this is something that they're looking for you to engage them with. So it's not going to be out of the blue. It's not going to catch them off guard. It's going to be a conversation that they welcome. And again, they're going to give you a great deal. And so I would just, hear them out on what they'd want to be paid. But people between 5K and 150K, you should be able to get like 3 videos, an image, and a post on Instagram or TikTok for $500 tops, literally. And that's a lot. you've built the relationship in the right way. Three videos, one image, and a post on Instagram stories or on TikTok, easy, $500. YouTube's a little different. You're probably looking, if that post was a YouTube post, that's a little more expensive. You're probably looking at between $500 and $1,000, maybe $1,500. But just again, it's a little bit more of an expensive platform there. But it's worth testing, especially with your top performing influencers.
Interesting. And I guess in terms of continued measuring success around that, you're looking once again at what kind of stats are you looking for? You're looking for like engagement, like what are the other things that you look for? Like, let's say you have formalized that partnership. Is it just the output of like that content, or are you like also looking at other things to see if it's going to continue to work out?
Well, like for TikTok example, we're looking at it in two different ways. On TikTok, for example, it's the most like, what's the word to put on TikTok? It's just fair across the board. You're going to get reach based on quality of content. And so how their algorithm works is literally if you get a certain amount of engagement right off the jump on your content, you go to the next tier of reach. And if you get a certain amount of engagement and a certain amount of time at that tier, you go to, it unlocks the next tier and so on and so forth. Right. And so we're looking at, you know, whose content are triggering those unlocks, right? With their organic performance and, you know, all the, you know, metrics that are on platform, you know, engagement percentage, comment percentage, view, impressions, all those sorts of things. And then on the other side of the coin here, how does their content perform in paid media against all the other content that we're getting? Does their content rise to the cream of the crop? Does it beat the CPA targets? Because within Facebook Ads Manager, as you're familiar with, I'm sure you can see any metric you want at the end of the day and how it performs against the rest of your content library. And so whoever's content and creative ends up being, you know, top 5 to 10 assets out of the 100 ads, those are people definitely worth going back to and getting, you know, content from on a month-to-month basis. Makes sense.
You've been mentioning like using their image as in Facebook ads. Are you just like, getting the image and then running it on your own account? I'm curious, I've also seen this where you ask to get access to their ad account and then you give them money to, so it pops up as influencer's face when they see it on Instagram. Is it?
White listing.
So how do you run both, or like, do you have a preference when you're actually running the paid ads for those in content?
You've definitely been doing this for 4 years. I don't think we're going to leave this segment without touching on everything here. So again, it goes back to, in the beginning, we're just going to be repurposing their content without whitelisting, right? But then after 3 months or whatever it is, when you look back and, you know, and you dissect and analyze who the top performers were and contractualize them, that's where you can include whitelisting access. And that's what you're alluding to, where you can run ads from their handles. But what I'll say is, it's just worth mentioning to be transparent about it. We've never, across 300, having visibility into over $300 million in ad spend, we've seen zero correlation between whitelisting influencer content in comparison to not whitelisting influencer content and a lift in performance. We've seen both, right? But there's been zero correlation between a lift and ROAS. So there might be listeners here like, oh man, I experienced a 40% lift when doing whitelisting. Hey, we've seen that. We've seen that. But we've also seen it way underperform in other accounts at differing levels of the funnel. So it's just worth mentioning. I'm not going to say it's not worth testing. Definitely everything's worth testing. Do it, try it, and see if it works for your brand. But also know whitelisting right now is like the new feed post where it's just really inflated price points. And it's like you're asking these people for their social security number to get that type of access. It's just wild. And so their creative is the most important variable. If you look at a heat chart of that, our eyes go from the content that's actually being run, the creative, to the headline, to the call to action, to the body copy, then to the actual handle that's serving the ad. Thing. And so who's lasting five steps, let alone like Facebook measures a key metric of success as 3 second view, right? Who's going through that entire step, the entire flow, you know, within 3 seconds? Not many.
Interesting.
So just stuff worth mentioning.
That's super cool. I did not even realize that's usually the last thing people look at us. It's super interesting information and stat. I want to start wrapping up and ask you one final thing. If you can leave one or two pieces of advice to people who are tuning in, and most of them are marketers, and there's some entrepreneurs who are looking to grow their own business, but what would be your one or two pieces of advice around influence marketing or anything else that we could have talked about or not have talked about at the moment?
Yeah, great question. Biggest takeaways here. Send your product out, no strings attached. Obviously, we talked about that in full, and really emphasize no strings attached and lean into that. I know everybody listening wants something guaranteed. Right. Just know the numbers that I expressed is worth saying. Those are minimums that we see. So 20% opt-in to receive the product at a minimum that you reach out to. And then at a minimum, 30% of those people end up posting on average 2 to 3 pieces of media. So just know, those are minimums. I know you want guaranteed posts, and that's, you know, the lure of the pay for post model, but you're going to pay so much more for so much less at the end of the day. And so you just need to trust the process and put what I'm saying to the test at a far, you know, reduced scale. Because ultimately, secondly, the way to win in influencer marketing is building community. Right. You need to build a genuine community around your product. And that's what everyone wants. If I ask that question to anybody, hey, do you care about influencer marketing in a way that you want authentic, genuine community? And 10 out of 10 times, you get a yes to the answer. The way to do it is by sending your product out, no strings attached, building this way, and it'll lead to so much more in comparison to people that just want that one-off drug, that one-off post of paying people to do it.
Awesome. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for your time. One final question. Where can people find out more about you? I know I'm going to link the Twitter account already, but like, is there any other things that you want to direct people to find out more about your work and about yourself?
Yeah, first and foremost, we're of course an agency, influencer marketing agency, Cumberland Bryant's, to do the service that obviously we just chatted about here. And you can find us at kinship.co, kinship with a Y, K-Y-N-S-H-I-P.co, C-O. And then Cody Wittick and myself, co-CEOs on Twitter, is where we're putting out a lot of our content. And again, ideally, we gave you enough to go try this out internally just amidst this podcast. But we also have a course that's at a far reduced rate. And this is kind of spontaneous for Amly, but happy to give you guys a 20% discount code to offer the audience as well if that's of interest.
Well, Taylor, thank you so much for your time. Really do appreciate it.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you for tuning in until the very, very end. Before we end, I just want to thank once again the sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. They are a plug-and-play demand generation and marketing operations agency for B2B SaaS companies that are ready to scale. You can check them out at 42.agency/GMT to get free $500 in consulting time. If you'd like to support the show, you've been getting a ton of value from it, there's three easy ways. First of all, subscribe if you haven't already done so and tell a friend about the show. This is how most shows grow, is through word of mouth. Second, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Even if you're not using Apple Podcasts, 70 to 80% of the show's listeners are from there, and leaving a review helps more people get to know about the show. And third, you can subscribe to the mailing list at growthtoday.fm, where I share updates about my life, but I also share updates about this podcast so you don't miss out. Well, that's it for this episode. This is your host, Ramley John. Keep safe, and as always, keep on growing.